If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3, our Thursday edition, ahead of a long weekend and a momentous weekend, I might add. Football starts tonight. We'll have 4 days of college football, four or five, I guess. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. And like I said, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. So don't forget to like us on Facebook at Above the Fold. And you can stream the show live at realtalk93.com. And listen, just because the holiday weekend is ahead doesn't mean the news stops. A lot going on here locally and across the country, as I'm sure you're aware. So we'll dive into that in our next 60 minutes, a couple of good segments here. We're going to talk about a meeting that I actually got to watch via Facebook. It took place at 10, the school board, Leon County School Board. This is the issue that is going back and forth and is in the news here statewide and in really all the 67 school districts across the state of Florida, and that has to deal with the mask mandate ban and the status of where that is in the court system. And then there's the other vein of the news where the Department of Education here in Florida is starting to punish school districts that are ignoring the executive order to allow a parental opt-out. The two initial school boards that went down that route are Alachua County in Gainesville and then also Broward down in South Florida. And they have started withholding the salaries for the elected officials in those areas. And so obviously this gets into the legal process. So we're going to get you up to date on that and what the Leon County School Board decided to do today in response to that. Because if you recall, the school system, the school year started with a parental opt-out. It quickly changed based on the number of cases that were reported in the first week or 10 days of school. And so, just chose to ignore the order. I got some support, obviously, from other school districts around Florida. And now starting Monday of this week, it was in play that, you could only have a medical opt-out for masks in the K through 8. And so now what's happened is the Leon County School Board is a little nervous about what's going on from the state in terms of issuing punishments. So they're getting counsel from different lawyers, and they had an emergency meeting today. So we'll run through that. And I also want to start first by giving you the nuance that's related to the Judge Cooper decision, because there is not a written order out yet, which is interesting. And, the point being that Judge Cooper knows that this opinion is going to be really analyzed and pored over by everyone. And so he's wanting to make sure that he has it right, because Governor DeSantis has decided that they will appeal this immediately to the First District Court of Appeal. And so when that happens, basically that stays that decision, and the executive order that Governor Ron DeSantis has in place is still the, quote, law of the land. But that does not seem to matter to these school districts that are violating that order for various reasons. They think that, that it's within their right, their local home rule. But I want to get into the nuance of what that decision actually says, and then we'll talk about the Corcoran letter to these school districts and then what Leon County Schools is set up to. Actually, it took a vote today, so we'll give you the information on that. Then we're going to pivot to a meeting that's being held by Jeremy Matlow, City Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, right now, actually, and I got to watch a little bit of it on Facebook Live, related to, he called it a public ethics forum. And so I got to watch a good 30 minutes of it. I want to run down some of the issues that he's talking about ahead of the first city commission meeting since the conviction of local businessman J.T. Burnett and all that comes with that. As I've said on several occasions, that this is not just about the guilty verdict. It's about the testimony of people that are tied to the local government process. It's about documents and exhibits that were revealed to the public that really opened some eyes to what was going on. During that period of 4 to 6 years, I would say from 2010 to 2016. And so we did a story on one of the exhibits about Vancouver Jones Communications, and that came up in this public ethics forum that Mr. Matlow was hosting. And, you know, the whole point here is the implications of what this trial and this investigation has for local government. And I think that's what they're wrestling with. And so Commissioner Matlow, I think ahead of the meeting, from a political standpoint, you know, pretty smart, trying to get on the record what he's concerned about. And so there's two or three things I wanted to mention, and then that they were talking about. And, you know, again, I think that Mr. Matlow needs to be careful in terms of painting everyone with a broad brush, and I'll make some comments about that even in this discussion. You know, there are some definite things that can be done, I think, to put up roadblocks to those who want to take advantage of the system. Actually, there's some pretty simple things that can be done, and so we'll get into that. In the last segment, we'll go over another a decision at the state level on a charter school here in Leon County. We'll discuss that. Also, Leon County, they scheduled an emergency meeting. We'll go over the chairman, Rick Miner's press release on that, and see what they might have up their sleeve. Don't put those masks away yet. You know, it's this is coming from a county that obviously is requiring employees to have a you know, the vaccine or lose their job. So it will be interesting to see where they're going to go for that. And also, Leon County Schools was discussing at this meeting, and I don't know what the outcome of that is, but Roseanne Wood's idea of using incentives to try to encourage people to get vaccinated within the school system. And so we'll probably have an update on that by the time we get to that last segment. One thing I wanted to touch on real quick, and we have a, before I get out of this first segment, we got a story up. And obviously, you know, we focus on local and state, and then some every now and then we'll do a couple national stories. This one I thought was warranted some attention. Joe Scarborough, who's the noted, I would say, moderate to left-wing analyst on MSNBC, the title of the story is Scarborough, : Southern Border Bigger Electoral Issue Than Afghanistan. And I think this is worth reading, and I'll just give you a little bit of the headlines here. It says, based on an exclusive report by Axios that found that the U.S. government has lost contact with thousands of migrant children released from its custody, Joe Scarborough, the host of Morning Joe on MSNBC, stated that the situation at the southern border will become a bigger issue in next year's midterm elections than Afghanistan. Quote, the southern border will play a much larger role in next year's midterms in Afghanistan. The situation seems to be getting more chaotic by the day. The president should appoint Jay Johnson and Jeb Bush to bring order to the situation and end the humanitarian crisis there, tweeted Joe Scarborough. Now, you can go to Taos Reports and see the full report there. But the issue was that, you know, it's starting to become pretty widely known and accepted that things are out of control on the southern border. Now, Texas has brought this up. The leadership in Texas has brought this up as a major issue. And it's been a little bit, obviously has not made the level of the national news that probably it warrants. Comments like this from people like Joe Scarborough will definitely get it on the national mainstream media itinerary or the agenda. So I encourage you to go check this out at TaosReports.com. All right, we'll get back. I'll give you an update on exactly what the school board did this morning at 10 o'clock with their emergency meeting. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. Waiting for the break of day.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on our Thursday edition. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home. But it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way. And I recommend you start with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior, exterior paint, high-end, or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649. and we appreciate their sponsorship of Above the Fold. Now, I wanted to get into the meeting today by the Leon County School Board and sort of what led up to this meeting. And, you know, it goes back to the decision by Judge Cooper, which Superintendent Hannah said put him on cloud nine. And I wanted to just look at the nuance of this decision because it really had nothing to do with mask. It had to do with process. Judge Cooper, which has not released an order yet, and we talked about that last segment, is going to be very careful about the wording because obviously this is going to be analyzed, going to be appealed. He's already been told that, so wants to get that right. But the decision, based on his rationale, was that the state did not give the Leon County School Board or other school boards due process about this decision requiring a parental opt-out. In other words, they needed to give notice that this was a requirement of the law, and then they had to allow the school board to respond and to basically prove that their actions were reasonable. And then the state could then make a decision, and the I guess at that point there could be another challenge based on another part of the law, the reasonableness part of it, or whatever whatever another legal analysis of the reason why they would want to just keep it as a medical opt-out. But Judge Cooper said that didn't happen. Therefore, they violated the state constitution and it was wasn't properly the rule and the order was not properly administered. And so now he's going to write this order. It's going to be taken to the First District Court of Appeals, which when it is appealed, what happens is the decision is put on hold from the lower court, and the executive order stands at that point until there's an outcome from the judicial system. Now, this is where people are getting a little confused in the sense that the Department of Education is moving forward with their punishment for school boards that have violated, violated the executive order that requires a parental opt-out. And those two school boards, which we mentioned last segment, Alachua County, Gainesville, and Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, just north of Miami, have received those the letters from Corcoran, and I think that the funds have been withheld in those two counties. Now, you know, so the public relations part of this is, well, wait, how can you do this when the judge has ruled against you? And I just explained that the judge is going to input an order which will appeal, and the precedent is once it's appealed, then that lower court decision is put on hold until a final decision is made, which means the executive order is still in play. So Leon County School Board is still violating the executive order. And what could happen is under if the First District Court of Appeal says, look, the lower court decision is wrong. The Leon County School Board is violating the executive order from the governor. Then the punishment by the Department of Education becomes a real thing. And so, and those letters have been sent out to Leon County School Board members. It's saying, look, they're 2 weeks behind, 18 days behind what happened with Alachua and Broward. Because if you remember, Leon County Schools started their year for the first 2 weeks with a parental opt-out. And so, the meeting today was to try to deal with the repercussions of that, the legal repercussions. And basically, at the meeting today, the Leon County, I'll tell you the outcome of that. The Leon County School Board voted 5-0 to approve Superintendent Rocky Hanna's request for $50,000 to hire outside counsel to challenge the state's requirements that parents be given the ability to opt out their children from mask mandates. And that is relating, obviously, to the executive order that was directed, the executive order by Governor DeSantis on July 30th that directed the Department of Health and Department of Education to immediately adopt rules designed to make sure that any COVID-related safety protocols established in schools do not, among other things, violate parents' rights under Florida law to make health care decisions for their minor children. And they cited the Parental Bill of Rights, which was signed into law on June 29th, 2021. So those laws were adopted, those rules were adopted by the Department of Health and also Department of Education. However, the on August 23rd, based on a review of district-specific data showing high positivity rates among students for the preceding two-week period, Superintendent Hanna issued a district-wide mask mandate for students in pre-K through 8th with a medical opt-out only. And then on Friday, this past Friday, Superintendent and Board Chair received a notice of noncompliance from Commissioner Corcoran. And the superintendent and the district's general counsel contacted the Weiss Sirota law firm to discuss the pursuit of legal avenues which would affirm the school board's authority under the Florida Constitution. The law firm currently represents at least one other school district in Florida on the same fundamental issue. Now, a couple of things here. So obviously this is going to become a battle over legal process and lawyers, and that means there'll be legal bills. And so we're going to pay that. One of the things that is a little bit interesting on this is the vote for this was 5-0 when the vote for the mask mandate was 3-2. And so Dede Rasmussen and Alva Striplin, who were encouraging the superintendent to follow the law. And I think at one point, Dede Rasmussen was even like, look, you know, I don't want to break the law here. And so I would, you know, and she talked about, look, we could close schools. At least that would allow us not to get away from breaking the law. But now you can see that they're, that Superintendent Hanna, I believe, is concerned from the legal process. You know, the initial decision from Judge Cooper is one thing, but, you know, Superintendent Hanna mentioned this, talked about this mandate as being something temporary, you know, and sort of indicated a couple of weeks. But, you know, look, the discussion today looked like we could be dealing with this for the next 6 months to a year. If you start, there has been no discussion about what is reasonable, and that was a big part of the Judge Cooper decision. And we didn't get any thresholds from Superintendent Hanna. We've had a tough time getting thresholds in terms of thresholds that like trigger actions. So, you know, we've got a school system of 33,000 kids, 34,000 kids, and 40 cases a day was the one that basically concerned a Superintendent Hanna and noted that this was just, it was too high, the number of cases. And so, you know, if you stretch that out over a two-week period, you know, that's basically about 500 cases, you know, per the 33,000 students. And so, but we don't have a threshold. Now, if you go back and look at the CDC, the threshold is going to drive you crazy because we're talking about two or three cases per 100,000 people over per day. So in other words, in a county the size of Leon with a population of 300,000, you would have to have the level of cases would have to be below 10 cases a day to meet a threshold where you could, you know, relieve some of these actions. So I don't know if that's going to be the criteria that the school board is going to be using, but right now there is no criteria, and that would be obviously part of probably some kind of legal case or legal argument, is that they're not setting any criteria. But, you know, given the number of cases, you know, it's, they can almost justify it given, you know, the CDC guidance, which again, how is a court going to throw out, you know, a superintendent arguing that he's following CDC guidance, which is, you know, the federal rules on this. And so it will be interesting to see what happens in terms of the legal process. But again, note that probably half of the school districts in Florida are on the other side of this. They do have parental opt-outs. One of the issues that came up in the meeting was to give the kids options or the parents options for a digital alternative. And that's not allowed because Governor DeSantis wanted to make sure that the schools were open. But you can still do, and this wasn't brought up, which I thought was a missed opportunity, people that don't want to attend schools, parents don't think that it's safe for their kids, can sign up for Florida Virtual School based on what I was reading. And that's another option. But anyway, all right. So that was the news of the day. The Leon County School Board voted 5-0 to appropriate, I guess, $50,000 to get started with some legal defense on this whole mass mandate ban. So we'll see how that goes. All right, when we get back, we will pivot to Jeremy Matlow's Public Ethics Forum. We'll talk about some of the things that they're discussing there and get you up to date on that. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. Tell me everything is all right. Lie to me. Tell me that you'll stay here.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Hi, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. We'll go from COVID to corruption. So the fallout from the federal corruption trial continues. And, you know, it's something that's going to have to be addressed. The verdict came out during the summer break of both the Leon County Commission and the City Commission. Obviously, the City Commission is a little bit more in the crosshairs here due to the actual testimony in the trial and also the charges that were involved and with City Commissioner Scott Maddox pleading guilty, who actually is scheduled to be sentenced on September the 9th, which is a week from today. And then JT Burnett was October 28th. So there's a lot of different, you know, we've talked about trying to get our hands around what local government, specifically the city of Tallahassee, can do with where they find themselves. Officials pleading guilty, another being found guilty who was very close to a lot of elected officials, had a lot of business run through the City Commission. And so, absent you being charged with a crime and convicted, what is to happen to what we read about in the documents, what we read about that was unveiled in testimony of people that are still connected in some way to the process, the local government process? And the focus has sort of, you know, is narrowed in on lobbyists, which is probably not a surprise. And probably the reason why is because of, again, the testimony and some of the documents that are being revealed. Taos Reports, we did a story, and we talked about this on Tuesday, about the Vancor Jones Communications Company. That's run by Steve Vancor and Andrew Jones, or Drew Jones. And they have been a very integral part of, you know, the intersection of campaigns, city contracts for communication services, and also lobbying. And I think that is, you know, even before the verdict was rendered in this trial, that had been on the radar of a lot of local officials. Mayor Daley, had made the comment and that, listen, you've got to pick which one of those things you're going to do. You can't do all three. And I don't know how you implement that, but if you start looking at sort of where the problems emanate from, it's clearly a couple of these communication firms that are trying to make money on all different sides of what's going on in local government. And the story with Vancor Jones was they were called out by the Tallahassee Democrat in terms of some of the text messages talking about how they were really working behind the scenes without registering as lobbyists. And they told, they were very upfront that, listen, we're a communications firm. We don't lobby. And if we did, we would register. Well, as we reported, there was a proposal that was agreed to by JT Burnett for Vancor Jones to represent a company called TM Street and their real estate transactions and the hurdles they had to get through related to local government. And a line in that proposal said, we will, quote, influence local government. Well, that's lobbying. And if you go back and look, nobody from Vancor Jones ever registered to lobby. This proposal contract was executed by J.T. Burnett in November of 2013, right in the middle of the back and forth over the McKibben Hotel project. And again, nobody's registered to lobby on behalf of that company. So, you know, the point becomes this, is where does the responsibility lie at trying to deal with that? And so Jeremy Matlow, ahead of the City Commission meeting next week, held this forum. It's called, he called it the Public Forum on Ethics. And, you know, they're talking about, again, what's coming out of this trial. The impact of, the violation of trust, in our community. And the couple of major things are that we're hearing, and I listened to about 30 minutes of this, is that, people, when they when Tallahassee is mentioned, that this corruption trial is going to be, is going to impact people wanting to move here to conduct business. And, you know, I don't know how much of that is, well, it's not measurable, but I mean, look, corruption happens all over the country. What's happening in Tallahassee, you would like to think that it's very unique and it stands out from everywhere else in you know, in the United States. That's not true. And so I'm not sure, obviously, it's going to impact certain projects. For example, you could argue that we have less competition in the hotel sector because the McKibben Hotel project was basically killed in you know, what was considered a, at least, if not criminal, a very unethical process. And so, you know, that would be part of the issue. Now, I think something that is more of an impact is when you've got local businesses that know that the local government system is rigged, they don't even take the time to bid on projects. And so that obviously is an outcome, or is a negativity or a negative externality of the corruption issue. But what the discussion in this public forum really, you know, led to was the discussion on lobbyists. And, you know, the Independent Ethics Board has submitted to the city of Tallahassee 4 recommendations that will update the lobbying ordinance. Because what we've run into is people like Vancouver Jones saying that they're consultants, therefore we don't have to register because we're not lobbyists. And up to this point, it was up to the person registering to define themselves as a lobbyist. But the recommendations by the Independent Ethics Board gets more into the specifics and requirements. And I wanted to go over the 4 areas that they're trying to update, which, you know, from what I understand is before the city commission now, and would be something they could act on in response to this guilty verdict. But the number 1, updating definitions of lobbying and lobbyists, which eliminates any ambiguity and specifically identifies conduct that falls under the job description. Now, this is the thing where it's basically, if you're being paid by anybody to go and talk to someone at City Hall, you're a lobbyist. It doesn't matter if you think you're a consultant. The definition, default definition should be, if you're being paid and you're communicating with people who are going to make a decision or have say over this decision, you're a lobbyist. And so they want to update those definitions. The second thing is requiring lobbyists when registering to include the name, title, and ordinance they wish to discuss with elected officials, and mandate contact logs. The duty to maintain and submit the logs falling on the lobbyist. Logs would have to be filed no later than 3 days after the lobbying activity. Again, what this does is puts the burden on the lobbyist. You know, listen, I think it should be on the city official, but this point here is that, in other words, if a lobbyist goes and meets with an elected official or a high-ranking city official, they have to submit to the clerk who they talked to, what it was about. I think this is great. This would provide great transparency on what is going on. The third thing is that is before the city commission is mirroring state law that bans lobbyists from being paid on a contingency basis except for certain claims bills punishable by a criminal misdemeanor. Now, this is one of these things where, you know, a lobbyist could say they're not a lobbyist because they're not being paid until after something happens. And then they get paid based on the bill or the project that's being approved. And so that would be outlawed under these new recommendations from the Independent Ethics Board. And then the fourth thing is requiring that quarterly compensation reports are available on a public website. I think they do that now. The city of Tallahassee does, but that is, again, something else that is pretty standard in the state of Florida. I know they do that for state lobbyists, but I think the first two here are the most important, and those are the ones with updating the definition. We're saying that if you're paid, now, you know, a lot of people misconstrue this and think that, you know, if you have a pothole in front of your house and you're going to go down to the city commission and complain, that you would have to register to lobby, and that's not true. You know, the line of demarcation, as in a lot of things in society, revolves around money. If you're getting paid to get up and speak or to influence, you're a lobbyist. If you're going just to complain or to give your opinion on a project and you're not getting paid, you're not a lobbyist and you don't have to fill out anything. And so I think that's important to note. And obviously the, you know, the paperwork of who you're talking to, maintaining these contact logs, I think it would go a long way in providing transparency for people that are, you know, interested in this. And I think one of the quotes that, that Commissioner Matlow said is that the public deserves to know who is getting paid to influence policy that ultimately affects them. And I agree with that. Now, when we get back, I'll finish up on this segment when we get back, talking about where I think there may be a little bit of a broader brush on this than we need to, there needs to be. And then we'll tie up some loose ends on some other issues here in the community. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Spartan Stoneworks, one of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to their home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen, but quality materials like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go with Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower than with Spartan than anywhere else because they do not mark up the cost of stone materials. The way they see it, since they didn't carve it out of the mountain themselves, they're not going to charge any made-up fees as if they did. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call at 765-2037. That's 765-2037. I appreciate you tuning in today, Thursday, just ahead of a long weekend. People, I know people that are already headed out of town. And so safe travels to those that are going, and also people coming into town, obviously, to go to the game on Sunday night. And I'm looking forward to hopefully some competitive football here beginning tonight, number of games on. And so, all right, in our last segment, want to finish up with the public forum on ethics that Jeremy Matlow had today. Did not get to watch the very end of that. It was taking place as we went on the air. But I did hear some comments, and we want to be, you know, we want to be careful about. And, you know, again, we've talked about this, the back and forth between the Chamber of Commerce and Jeremy Matlow, I think have blown this way out of proportion, trying to make this about businesses versus people who decided to just, you know, facilitate, enable people who weren't going to follow the law or, you know, at the best not follow some ethical behavior. And so we don't want to take that and say, listen, this is a business issue. Just from the same, you know, the same perspective, you know, we could be painting government with this broad brush instead of actually focusing on the individuals. And this word is something that, you know, we got to be careful about because I think right now, and I've said this before, you know, Tallahassee and Leon County are, I think, in a great position to take advantage of some of the inherent qualities that we have to benefit the people that live here from an economic standpoint. And I think that one of the points that all businesses understand, and I think that everybody needs to really promote, is that a job can change people faster than anything else. And so I think that's something we want to focus on. And clearly support trying to deal with the lack of transparency and ethical and lack of hurdles in local government that allowed what has happened to happen. Now, some of this you're going to be able to slow down and to put things in place that will cause people to maybe think twice before they do something. But, you know, other things, when you're talking about individuals making decisions, you know, a lot of that is out of anybody's control. I think I heard someone say, well, you know, we should do a better job of vetting candidates. Well, you know, the Commissioner Maddox was, I think, endorsed twice or at least once when he ran for office. And, you know, the media, the state of the media now, I don't think, you know, the endorsements 30 years ago maybe were a big deal. Obviously, a lot of newspapers have quit doing that. But this goes back to, you know, honest reporting. and trying to basically be transparent in what people are standing for. There were red flags there here in our community, and I won't spend any time getting sidetracked on that. But let's just say they were red flags, and they were ignored by a lot of different people. Maybe that's one thing that we, you know, obviously we need to address. But there are some mechanical issues that we can put in place in local government, some operational issues like the ones we just went over that I think will narrow in on this. But let's be careful about painting all businesses, as seeking to do something other than what is right. I mean, 99.9% of the businesses that operate here aren't looking to violate rules of local government. Most of them don't even do business with local government. So I think that's an important thing to note. Now, moving on, another decision that impacts the local education landscape is the decision by the Leon County School Board in April of this year to deny the application for a charter school called Red Hills Academy was overturned yesterday by the Charter School Appeal Commission. Not a shocking decision. The panel recommended the approval of the new charter school, stating that there was no, quote, substantial competent evidence for the denial made by the Leon County School Board. Now, that vote was 3-2, if you remember. So, the school's application raised discussion regarding charter schools draining resources from traditional education system, but that's not a reason for denying it. And so going forward, this application is going to be forwarded to the Florida Board of Education for consideration. And if the school is approved, the Red Hills Academy plans to open their doors in August of 2022. And so this will be located on the east side of town. I think at the Mahan Capital Circle area, I believe. We'll have more on that. And Leon County Commission is getting into the COVID protocol issue. They have called a special meeting, which will take place on September 7th, which is Tuesday. On August 27th, Commissioner Christian Dozier sent a letter to Minor requesting that the board meet before the next scheduled meeting in September. In the letter, Dozier cited the increase in the county's positivity rate with the Delta variant as a rationale for the meeting. Dozier said, "I think this is a critical time in our community. We have been doing this far too long. We've lost too many people, and we need to really make sure that we all have hands on deck to push forward, get control of this variant, and hopefully prevent another surge in the future." So at the scheduled meeting, commissioners will receive presentations from the county staff and the medical and public health professionals, and will evaluate possible mitigation measures, which, you know, if you're familiar with the Leon County Commission, it's going to come up, is the reinstitution of mask mandates, which again would be sort of like the school board fight with Ron DeSantis over masks in schools. Then you would have a fight over, local government mask mandates. Chairman Rick Minor said in the press release, "I believe this special meeting in which county commissioners and the public hear important COVID-19 information will be helpful. This is a meeting you can access in person or through virtual means." And so Rick Minor concluded the press release by emphasizing that that from the beginning, Leon County commissioners and county staff have worked diligently with local hospitals, health centers, and a multitude of other community partners to protect the health and lives of Leon County residents, and they will continue their efforts. So, you know, the issue, obviously, now, as we see from the state perspective, hospitalizations are coming down. This wave will be receding. And, you know, I think that the push, obviously the two things that Governor DeSantis is doing is the push for vaccines and also the Regeneron treatment, hopefully I'm saying that right, which is here now in Tallahassee for someone that tests positive and can get this treatment within 10 days has been something that's been successful. So those are the two things that they're promoting at the state level. I hope that comes up here also at the county commission meeting. Other than that, I don't know what other mitigation efforts we're going to do, because again, with this receding now, and it's going to be, I think, a couple weeks, you know, I think this being a respiratory virus, you know, we're gonna have to deal with it each time a new variant comes out. So anyway, the meeting will be on Tuesday. Will be happening after our show, so we'll have to get you up to date on that next week on Thursday. But so anyway, that's all we have for you today. I appreciate you tuning in. Again, be sure and have a safe weekend for those who are traveling, and try to take a little time off from the news. Clear your mind, and then we'll head into the fall. I think it was supposed to be actually 68 degrees at some point this weekend. So wake up and enjoy that. But again, thanks for joining us. Have a great afternoon. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold.
Gonna be bright.